Thank you, Dan. Good evening, everyone. It's great to see you on this lovely summer's day. Summer's evening, actually. Yeah, it's evening. Yeah, all right. So I just need to get set up, and then we'll be going. Right, so we're continuing our evening service preaching series. That's a tough word to say. Say that three times in a row quickly. Like, did you ever play that game as kids? Like, say this word three times quickly and then laugh at people struggling to pronounce words. Yeah, it's not a fun game. So we are looking at stories that Jesus told. And tonight we are looking at Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. If you want to open your Bibles or Bible apps, we are reading Matthew 25, starting at verse 31. And the words will be on the screen as well. The reading will be on the screen. So I'm going to read this now. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. So before we carry on, let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the stories that you told. And thank you that we can look at those stories even today. I pray, Lord, that as we look at this, your glory, your word, your truth and your love will shine through my words, in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, stories with Jesus, the sheep and the goats. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. So, on Thursday, the GCSE results were released. Is there anyone here who got their results? No. Oh, yeah, great. Did it go well? Sorry, you don't have to answer that. Sorry, that was really nasty of me, wasn't it? Sorry, you don't have to answer that. That's great. Is it any parents whose children may have gotten their results on Thursday? Anyone? A-levels? Same thing last week, Thursday? Yeah? Getting test or exam results isn't always a fun or positive experience, is it? Not for everyone, at least. And it seems like in some way the story Jesus tells in Matthew 25 is about people getting results for a test they didn't even know they were writing. And for many of those people, it ends up pretty badly. So let's take a look at this parable. There seems to be four main characters or character groups. We see the Son of Man, who is Jesus, of course. We have the sheep, whom Jesus puts on his right. We have the goats who is put on Christ's left, and then we have the so-called brothers and sisters of Christ, those who are hungry, thirsty, alien, naked, ill, and in prison. We look at the first three groups tonight, but just briefly on the last group, the brothers and sisters of Christ. Some theologians believe them to be Christ followers who were in need of these things. They were hungry, thirsty, alien, naked, ill, and in prison, and so the sheep become the people who help them, but specifically Christ followers, Christ messengers of Christ. Other theologians believe that Jesus is referring to all people who are hungry or thirsty, etc., and that by calling them his brothers and sisters, he is essentially associating himself with those in need. Now, whatever your thoughts around this may be, and I would love to discuss this with you after the service, I think the message of this parable still stays the same, regardless of what your outlook on the fourth group is. So let's look at the characters. Firstly, the Son of Man, Jesus. In this parable, Jesus is talking about his second coming, as he's been talking and telling stories of in previous chapters or in previous verses from this one. He wasn't really here last week. Or he was. Never mind. I don't know about you. I can fall into this philosophical spiral really quickly, and then I shouldn't do that out loud often. But anyway, it seems like a big deal. It seems like this is a really big deal because, as Jesus tells it, all the angels are there, all the nations, every person, all the people of every nation is in front of him, and he is sitting on his glorious throne. What a sight that must be, and rightly so, because in the end, Jesus is the ultimate judge. There is no authority above Jesus Christ. There is no other person who can overrule his decisions. There is no higher court that anyone can appeal to. There is no greater authority than the authority of Christ himself. And this is important to know because it means that his word is final. What he decides happens. The results on this, let's call it results day, will not be changed or adapted to accommodate some who may have missed the mark by a whisker. It's more like a pass-fail kind of test. You either pass or you fail. There's no in-between. Though Jesus is gracious, kind, and merciful, he is also just and righteous. Now, there's a story about a criminal who had once been before the courts, who was scheduled to appear once more. He rejoiced when he heard that an attorney who had defended him on previous occasions was now the trial judge. Seems like a good deal. His attitude changed, however, when the judge stated, "When I was an attorney, I defended you, but I am no longer an attorney. It is not my business now to defend, but to judge. I shall hear the evidence, and then I must deal with you in keeping with the oath I have taken in the office of judge." You see, when Jesus came, he came once to this earth as Savior. He is even now at the right hand of God as our intercessor, our advocate with the Father. But the day is coming when he will return as judge. And as judge, he must perform his duty in keeping with the nature of his office. That means Jesus is our Savior. He does offer us his mercy. He does defend us from the wrath of God. But when he comes again, he becomes the judge. He becomes the one who calls the shots. It is also important to note that Jesus is, in his own words, and you can read that in John 10, the good shepherd. He calls himself the good shepherd. The final judgment lies with him and with him alone, but that is a good thing. Why? Because he is the only one who knows every person inside and out. He knows you, he knows me. He is the only one with a complete full picture, and he alone can judge well and judge rightly. And so, in this story, he separates all the people into two groups, the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. By the way, when I'm pointing like this, I'm not making any. Yeah, never mind. Now, for us, in our frame of reference, it seems like an easy thing to do. It seems like an easy thing to know which are goats and which are sheep. Because goats and sheep don't tend to flock together, do they? And when they do, they're pretty distinctive. You know what a good goat looks like, and you know what a sheep looks like. But that wasn't quite the case in the Middle East in Jesus' time. Here is a picture I took in Central Asia fairly recently. And maybe some of you can see that that's a herd of goats and sheep together. Now, some of you may be able to discern which is which. But when I was walking down there, I didn't quite realize, I just thought it was a bunch of goats. And it was only afterwards, looking at the pictures more intently and looking closely at the pictures, that I realized there are some sheep in there as well. And this is the pretty much what Jesus would have referred to while telling this story. Now you can see that it's not easy to discern which is which, but not for Jesus. Because what makes the Son of Man the best, the only possible judge to separate the two, is that he knows his flock and that they know him. He not only knows every heart and every mind of every person, but there's a deeper mutual love relationship between him and his sheep. Even though he cares for both the sheep and the goats, he welcomes the sheep into glory. So here's the question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him as the good shepherd? Do you know his voice? Have you accepted the grace and mercy he is offering you right now? Again, you don't have to stick your hand in the air or answer out loud, but Jesus knows, you know. And in this parable, Jesus calls those who know him blessed by my Father, and then invites them to take up their inheritance, a kingdom prepared since the creation of the world. And that is what awaits those of us who will be counted as sheep on results day. But the question must surely have come up by now. What qualifies people to be sheep? What did the sheep do to be called blessed by my Father, or to inherit a kingdom prepared since the creation of the world? And that is exactly what the sheep asked Jesus in this story. But what did we do to deserve this great blessing and honor? What did we do? To which Jesus replies, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you invited and welcomed me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was ill, you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then, interestingly enough, it seems like they don't know what Jesus is talking about. It's almost as if they need to make sure Jesus isn't making a mistake here. Are you sure, Lord, that it's me? But when did we see you in this sorry state and help you out? To which Jesus replies, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. So a couple of thoughts on the sheep. It seems like they are humble, just like Jesus. It seems like they don't care for status or social position, just like Jesus. They see a need and they address that need, just like Jesus. They love people, just like Jesus. It seems that the sheep become sheep by following the example of the Good Shepherd, by knowing him and becoming like him, by loving the Good Shepherd and by loving whomever they can find to love. The kind of love that is bigger than just saying, I love you. It's a love that is expressed in a real and tangible way, in a physical way. It is a love that transforms the world, that makes the world better, because the person who is doing the loving has been transformed, has been made better by the love of Christ. We become sheep by loving the shepherd and by loving like the shepherd, by loving God with everything we have and by loving our neighbor as ourselves. Now, as always on any results day, there are sometimes mixed reactions. And the goats in this story are no different. They want to dispute the judgment passed on them, and Jesus tells them exactly why he judged them in this way. Now, I don't know what the people in the goats group were thinking, how they lived their lives before results day. What this story does tell us, though, is that those in the goats group did not serve Jesus in very specific ways. And Jesus noticed. Jesus noticed. He says, I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was ill, you did not look after me. I was in prison and you did not care for me. So here's what I think may cause us to not serve Jesus in these ways. We may be ignorant of God. We may not care if he exists or not. We may not care whether there is a results day in the end, unlike Jesus. We may be ignorant of people's needs. We may be like the Pharisees or the religious people who walked past the man who was robbed. The Samaritan stopped. We may be ignorant of people's needs, unlike Jesus. We may be trying to serve God on our own terms. I read this great quote recently that said, most people want to serve God, but in a... I can't remember the word now. I'm so sorry. I forgot the word. I actually forgot the word. I had this quote down and I forgot the word. Most people want to serve Jesus, but in an advisory capacity only. We want to tell God how we're going to serve him. And that's not the way it works. We may think that some people deserve love and care while others do not, unlike Jesus. We may be striving for heaven while trying to bypass loving those around us, unlike Jesus. Now, we have to be careful, though, that not to see this parable as a recipe to get into heaven. I don't think that's what Jesus meant when he told the people this story. We can't just visit someone in prison once and then think we'll be okay for results day. I don't think that's how it works. We may be bitterly disappointed, like the goats group were on that day. Matthew 26, verse 6 to 13 tells us that it's not just about serving the poor, but about serving Jesus. Matthew 26, verse 6 to 13 is where the woman comes in and she breaks this flask of very, very expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. And the disciples go nuts. They just say, how could she do that? That could have been sold and given to the poor. And Jesus says, no, you will always have the poor with you. I'm only with you for a short time. What this woman did was right. It's not about the poor. It's not about serving them or giving away your possessions. As we can read in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says that even if we give away all we have to the poor, but it is not done in love, it means nothing. Love is about loving for love's sake, not about what we can get out of it. Here's the thing, though. I can't pass judgment on anyone's relationship with Christ or how they love their neighbor or not. I can't say with any degree of certainty whether someone will be in the goats group or in the sheep group on that final results day. What I can do, though, is to make sure that I love Christ as best I could. I can be intentional about following Jesus, being changed to be more like him, by submitting to him in everything I do, and by expressing my love for him by loving others. Not for the sake of getting to heaven one day, but for the sake of those in need, to the glory of God. I need a volunteer at this point. Would anyone volunteer? Anyone? Shall I volunteer someone out of the masses? Come on, Sean. Right. Sorry. I'm not going to hit you. I have a great... Well, do you want to be hit, though? That, no. Okay. Oh, that would mean... I'm here to serve, really. So, great. So, this is your microphone. This this is my phone. I have an offer for you. This is my phone. On it, there's a banking app. The deal is, if you are able to unlock my phone and log into the banking app, I will give you all of the £763,284.14 I have.
Okay.
Does that sound like a good deal?
That sounds like an amazing deal.
Okay, right. So you can try. I mean, it's locked. It's got a password, and you have to log into the banking app and everything. Is it worth giving it a go?
Yes.
Right. Wait, hang on. There's more. If you are unable to access my phone and the banking app and log into the banking app, I get all the money you have and whatever you may earn or get in the future from now on, if you're not able to do it.
Okay.
Still a good deal?
No.
No? Okay. What if, because I'm generous, I give you my password and login details? All you have to do is type it in and log in. Would you do that?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
If I give you the answer or I give you the details, you'd do that?
I would do that, yes.
You would do that. Okay, great. But there's more. There's always more.
Always a catch.
Always a catch. You can only get the money if you share it all with people that need it. You're not allowed to keep it all for yourself. Would you still do it?
Yes.
Great ethical question. Yes.
Well, yes, I think I would, actually.
Sounds like the right answer. Okay, here's the thing. What if, because I have limitless resources, I'll transfer £750,000 to that account every time the balance hits zero when you give away the money? Would you like to have the password?
Yes, I would.
You would?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought so. Just for the record, I don't have that amount of money.
Oh, okay.
See, that's just a really simple illustration of what's going on in this parable, I think. Because Jesus seems to be setting us a really high bar that we can't get to by ourselves. Well, he promised us great blessing and eternal life and a kingdom that has been prepared since the creation of time. Or the creation of the world. And he says, it's freely yours. You just need to get in. And then we say, oh, well, okay, fine. Sounds good. But then he says, to get in, you're either in or you're out. You either get this massive prize or you get the opposite of that. And then we start thinking, maybe, you know, yeah, it's still worth a shot. And then Jesus says, don't worry, I'll give you the answer. I'll give you the opportunity to take up this blessing and to come into eternal life with me. And we say, yeah, great, that's a great idea. And then we hear Jesus say, but wait, there's more. I want you not just to keep this for yourself. I want you to share this with others. And because I have limitless resources, because I have endless love, I want you to love as much as you can. Because I loved you first. This parable isn't a recipe or a set of rules for getting into heaven one day. Rather, I think it's a reminder that when we say we follow Jesus, it should be reflected in our lives. We can't say we follow Jesus and our lives do not change. It's a reminder that love is actually a verb. It's a reminder that we can't love Jesus if we don't love like Jesus. There's this other great quote that I came across that says, I only love God as much as the person I love the least. I only love God as much as the person I love the least. It's a reminder that we have this opportunity while we're still in this world to follow Jesus and his ways. It's a reminder that we are not never will be, and never should be the final judge of other people. Christ alone is that judge. It's a reminder that we are to love everyone and that God will sort us all out in the end. It's not up to us to judge and decide who is worthy of love and who is not worthy of love. We have to love everyone. God will sort them at the end. It is also a reminder that there will be an end, a results day, as it were, after which we'll either go into glory with Jesus or not. And I really hope and pray we'll all be in the sheep group on that day. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you that your mercy is extended to each one of us right now. That we can accept your love and accept your grace and receive that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our Savior. And thank you also, Lord, that you will be our judge. And my prayer is, Lord, that you will show each one of us how we should live to the glory of your name, what we should do to be your sheep, to follow you faithfully, to know you as the good shepherd, and to love those around us like you have loved us. Father God, we deserve nothing from you, but we will take all we can from you to the glory of your name, that your name may be lifted high above the world, above the heavens, that your name may be glorified on that final results day, and that we will see you as you truly are. We thank you now, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.